So my name is Jim. I'm in recovery for addiction to internet pornography and been in recovery for that and working on other hurts, habits, and hang-ups that often have to do with codependence. So let's just take a moment and begin with prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together this evening. Thank you for surrounding us with your love and your mercy and fellowship. Can draw us down a path of healing. Help open our hearts to the message that you have for us this evening and draw us ever closer to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, so tonight I'm going to speak on relapse, lesson 21. So if you're new tonight, welcome. You're in the right place. And later on, when we break into small groups, there's a group called Newcomers 101. It's in the corner of the building over here, and you'll get an orientation on what we do. But for now, I'll try to keep my talk to 25 to 30 minutes and get you to small groups. So relapse. So first, I'll start with the principle. So principle 7 says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life, and to gain the power to follow his will. And let's go to the step and join me in this one. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. All right. So in your seats or nearby, you have a little program you're welcome to follow along that has an acrostic in it. If you're new, every lesson has an acrostic, almost every. I think there's one that doesn't, but tonight has an acrostic. And if you're like me and an acrostic causes you anxiety, I'm going to give you all the answers up front, and then we'll go into the details so that you're not worrying about missing one. So let's begin first with relapse, and which is tonight's topic. And so the R stands for reserve a daily time. Let me get to it. A daily quiet time. There you have it. E is evaluate. L is listen to Jesus. A is alone and quiet time. P is plug into God's power. So fast, okay. Which one did you catch? I'll give it from the top. So R, thank you though. Reserve a daily quiet time. Schedule it. That's really what that means. All right. E for evaluate. E is evaluate. L, listen to Jesus. Evaluate. That's okay. That's okay. I can be that way. I know how that is. All right. A, alone and quiet time. P is plug into God's power. I've gotten an example of that tonight. If you've heard the rumbling, that's the power of God outside with lightning. All right. S, slow down. Plug into God's power. That's it. But I'm going to get into the details here in a minute. You're good. All right. All right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, plug into God's power through prayer. My notes and the answers aren't quite identical. Okay, slow down long enough to listen. The last one, enjoy your growth. I'm glad the charts are keeping up there. I'm keeping him on his toes there in the back. All right. Thank you for your patience in that. We'll go from there. Okay, so tonight I'm going to talk about how to prevent relapse. Just from a definition, relapse is going back into the habit that got you here. So for me, it would be getting back into internet pornography. For others, it might be drinking alcohol. For another, it might be trying to fix someone and going back into the fix. If I have a problem with food and overeating, then going back into that, right? So relapse, that's kind of going back into the pattern that got you here. Okay, so when we start with reserve a daily quiet time with God for self-examination, Bible reading and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will, that is principle 7. The first step to preventing relapse is to admit that you're going to be tempted, that you're not above temptation. Jesus wasn't, and so why should either of us? We find the account of Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, from the Living Bible. Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted there by Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing and became very hungry. Then Satan tempted him to get food by changing stones into loaves of bread. "It will prove that you are the Son of God," he said. But Jesus told him, "No, but the scripture tells us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what we need." Then Satan took him to Jerusalem to the roof of the temple. "Jump off," he said, "and prove that you are the Son of God." Jesus retorted, "It also says not to put the Lord your God to a foolish test." Next, Satan took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. "I give it all to you," he said, "if you will only kneel and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan. The scripture says, worship only the Lord God, obey only him." Then Satan went away, and the angels came and cared for Jesus. The test was over, the devil left. Jesus was tempted. He never sinned, but he was tempted. Mark chapter 14, verse 38 tells us, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So being tempted is not a sin. It's falling into the action of the temptation that gets us in trouble. Temptation is a call to battle. When we're tempted to fall back into our old hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we need to say to Satan, as Jesus did in Matthew 4:10, "Get out of here. The scriptures say, worship only the Lord God, obey only him." The next word in our acrostic reminds us of step 10, to evaluate. As a recap of what we talked about in the last two lessons, your evaluation needs to include your physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual health. As Pastor Rick Warren says, don't forget the value of a heart check. Ask yourself daily if you are hurting, exhausted, angry, resentful, or tense. Heart. If you answer yes to any of the above, use the tools you've learned in recovery to help you get back on track. Specific instructions for this step in Romans 12, 3 through 17. Be honest in your estimation of yourselves. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other. Be patient in trouble. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Daily practice of step 10 maintains your honesty and humility. So some examples for myself is, so again, are you hurting? Are you exhausted, angry, resentful, or tense? So tense is an easy one for me. Sometimes I stress, I worry about things, right? And so recognizing that that's going on for me, stopping, pausing, often a small prayer to God, but then looking at, okay, now what do I want to do with that? What are the healthy options for me? So for me, I like to cycle, so I get on my bike and I ride. It gets me out of whatever funk I'm in. It gets me into some fresh air. It actually gets some endorphins going, so that changes my disposition quite a bit. And if I'm frustrated, it helps me work out that frustration through physical exertion. If I'm angry or resentful is an easy one. Someone says something to me, especially a loved one, and it gets under my skin, I might kind of brood over that. So when I recognize that's going on for myself and I'm tempted to turn to the computer, turn to food, turn to alcohol, then that's a sign for me to take and do something different. Now for myself, and I know on a lot of the guys that I've been in small group with and step studies with, it's easy for me to isolate, to like, okay, I'm just going to do this on my own. I don't need anybody, I'm tough, right? But that's not true. And when I do that, that's when I'm my weakest, and that's when Satan has a chance at me. And so when I recognize that, I step outside of myself. I have some accountability partners. I have a couple of sponsors. Immediately text them, and I'll say, hey, this is going on for me. Do you have a minute to talk? If it's serious and I know I need to really kind of connect at a very personal level. Or it might just be a text of, I've got this going on. I need you to hold me accountable. I want to get through tonight, right? So just focus on the now. Okay. The L is listen to your higher power, Jesus Christ. So we need to take time out of the day-to-day long enough to listen to our bodies, our minds, and our souls. We need to slow down long enough to hear the Lord's direction. Test everything that is said to be sure it's true, and if it is, then accept it, from 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Then let's look at the letter A, which stands for alone and quiet time. The first part of step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. In principle 3, we made the decision to turn our lives and wills over to God's care. In principle 4, we confessed our sins to Him. And in principle 5, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Now in principle 7, in order to keep your recovery growing, you need to have daily quiet time with Jesus. Even He spent time alone with His Father. And we need to do the same. Set a daily appointment time to be alone with God so that you can learn to listen carefully and learn to hear God. Psalm 46:10, God tells us, be still and know that I'm God. I'm also going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19, because this passage really speaks to me. And this is Elijah in the desert. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. This one's important to me just because I can get so busy and I can throw up a prayer to God but just keep running. And this calls me back to, if I want to know the will of God, if I want to follow the will of God, and I know God has my best interest in heart, and I have to slow down and listen and be quiet. I have to slow down what's going on inside of me. So that's a big part of prayer and meditation. Meditation is just a fancy word for slow down, breathe, let out a little bit of stress, and now be ready to listen and listen to what God has for you. The enemy will use whatever he can to disrupt your quiet time with God. He'll allow you to fill your schedule with so many good things that you burn out and did not have time to keep your appointment with God. This one's an easy one because, as it says, you can do good things, but good things that take you away from that time that God really wants with us one-on-one. And so look at yourself, be honest with your own life, talk it over in your small groups. But for me, I'm a morning person. So if I'm going to have time with God and not let it get interrupted, I need to do it before I do other things. So that's the first thing I do in the day. If I save it, and I used to do this, save it for the end of the day with good intention. I'm so tired. You know, okay, oh, I'm going to pray right before dinner. Well, that didn't happen. I'm going to pray after dinner. No, that didn't happen. Watch a show with my wife, brush my teeth, go to bed. I'll pray in bed. The alarm clock goes off, right? So I missed all of that, right? I you know, just keep putting God off until it was too late. So I find that when I wake up, that's the best time for me. My time in the shower, God speaks to me. It's because I guess I can't do anything else other than get clean and listen. So God speaks to me in the shower. So find that place, find that time, and slow down and listen, and then open the Word of God and let God speak through that. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Happy are those who find joy in obeying the law of the Lord. They study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream that bear fruit at the right time." Okay, the next letter, P, plug into God's power through prayer. Many people will say, "Why did God allow that to happen to me?" Often, did we pray and seek his will and guidance before we made a decision to get married, before we made a decision to change jobs, or whatever the issue may be? If we don't daily seek his will for our lives, how can we blame God when things go wrong? Some people think their job is to give God instructions. I've heard this said, "Okay, 1, 2, 3, this is what I need. Thank you, I'll talk to you later." And our God is actually... our job is to seek his will for our lives. One of the things I will say is I've gotten a lot more insights. My dad got wiser when I had kids. And I would say the same is true for me and insights into God. I have grown children now, but being a dad and knowing how much I love my children, and as imperfect as I am, I always want what's best for them. I never want them to be hurt. I never want to be the one that does the hurting, right? And so if I'm that way in my brokenness with my own children, God is so much greater than that, right? He's the perfect Father. And so if I know that and I lean on that, it gives me great comfort. Thank you. The next S in our acrostic is slow down. Slow down long enough to hear God's answer. After spending time praying to God, we need to slow down long enough to hear answers and direction. We can become impatient. We want God's answer now. But we need to remember our timing can be flawed and God's timing is always perfect. After we pray and ask, we need to listen. God says to Job, "Listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom." From Job 33:33. Philippians 4:7 tells us, "If you do this, present your request to God, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep you, your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." So slow down is a good one for me. A couple of examples. Like when I read the acrostic tonight and gave you the answers. There's one example. But the other one is often in one of my more important relationships, and that's with my wife, we'll have a misunderstanding and I'll feel hurt and I'll respond in kind, and she'll feel hurt and she'll respond in kind, and it escalates. And often it's because we never stopped and listened to each other, or I'm acting on what I thought I heard. And what we have found is, and a counselor gave us this. He used profanity, but I won't use that. But he said, slow down. So slow down and listen to each other. So what works for me best is, here's what I heard you say. And a lot of times my interpretation comes into that as I paraphrase it back. And then she'll say, that's not what I said. Here's what I said. And then I keep doing that until I understand what she's trying to tell me. And vice versa. Because often she'll say, you must think X, Y, or Z, and I'll be like, no, I'll tell you what I think, right? So But again, we have to slow it down. We have to do it respectfully. And then wait until, like, I understand her before then I respond with what's going on for me. And that has helped us considerably. The same is true in my relationship with God. Sometimes I react, you know, and then I pause and I say, oh, I didn't ask you about that, God, did I? So then I seek God's counsel, I wait, and then I give it time. Often I need to sleep on it. I need another day to go by. God works in time for me. Sometimes I'm a slow learner. So I just need that message to come back to me and come back to me. And it comes to me in the voice of other people. It comes to me in the scriptures. It comes to me in the silence of the day or the night. So again, that's why slowing down is important. Okay, finally, the last letter in relapse is E, to enjoy your growth. You need to enjoy your victories. Rejoice in and celebrate the small successes along your road to recovery. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 tells us, be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus. And don't forget to share your victories, no matter how small, with others in your group. Your growth will give others hope. So a couple of other things I'm going to add to this. The first is, and again, this kind of came in what brought me here. So, you know, I mentioned internet pornography having been the number one hurt, habit, and hang-up I was going through. And what I will say is, once we address one, then often we recognize there's another area of our life that we need to turn over to God and get, you know, healing and help in. Sometimes you go from pornography, then now I'm really ready to look at my alcohol problem or my workaholism, where I get busy so I don't have to feel what I'm feeling, right? So it allows us to peel that onion back. But when we talk about relapse and falling back into what brought us here, the important thing is, and for me in particular, is what did I do to rationalize my way in here, right? And so a lot of times it's a half step. Satan doesn't get you all the way into the pit, you know, to where you're trapped. It's just a little bit. Just get a little closer to the edge and a little closer to the edge until before you know it, you fall, right? And so for me, I have to look at what are those little steps that lead me there. So for me, it was being isolated, or it might be drinking where my inhibitions fall, or it might be being hurt because of something that someone said and not doing anything about it. So that I just use that as a little bit to feel sorry for myself, and it gets me a little closer and a little closer. So knowing those things, a counselor once said, what is the shoulder of the road for you? What are the things that get you drifting onto the shoulder before you go in the ditch? When you find yourself getting into the shoulder, stop and address it. So a couple things. I'll give a relatively recent example from a couple months ago. So in the past, if my wife and I had a very serious conflict, and when I did share with her my problem with pornography, it hit her very, very hard. So she took it as another woman, right? That I wasn't living into the vows of my marriage, and she wasn't sure she wanted to be with me, right? That there was that strong of an impact on her. So through counseling and stuff, we worked through it through the program here. We've worked through a lot of that, but there can be a little thing. So for example, we were on a plane and I was going through Facebook, and in the feeder was an image that was sketch, right? Like Facebook can have. She's like, what are you doing? Just scrolling, right? And it kind of triggered in her some fear and some anxiety about my past pornography use. And so at one point she's like, I just need a night alone. I don't want you in the house. So in the past, for me, I would have taken that as serious rejection. It might have caused me to act out, to overeat, to drink, to look at pornography, you know, I'm feeling sorry for myself. Instead, because of some of the tools that I've gathered here and learned, and because of accountability partners, I immediately texted a friend and said, I'm having a hard time. This is going on for me. I want you to pray for me. That was number one. Number two was, it was during the work day, and I was still at work, so it was a safe environment for me. But at the end of the workday, what am I going to do? I'm going to find myself a CR meeting, because it wasn't on Wednesday night. So That's another thing, if you're new, is the first time I went to a CR meeting, I thought there was only one, and it was only at this one church. Well, it's actually everywhere, right? And so you can go online, and you look, and you can find a meeting. And there's always one going on. So I went to a meeting that night and got surrounded by the kind of support that I needed. I got prayer. I got a chance to be heard. I got a chance to connect with people, not isolate. And that gave me what I needed to spend the night in a hotel and be fine the next day, because I was really grounded in that accountability of other guys, of being loved by other guys and not necessarily feeling rejected and allowing Satan a foothold in that. That's a key thing here. As we talk about our small groups, we have accountability partners and we have sponsors. For me, it's always been very important to have that connection. And when I used to travel for business, because that was another time of temptation, I would let guys know, this is what I'm going to do. And so on this night, I'm going to text you. And before I go to bed at night, this is what I'm going to do. And one of the other things I did, which took some humility, I had a lot of pride, and that got me into trouble. But I'd check in the front desk, and if they had adult channels, I'd say, I want the TV disconnected and removed from my room. I don't want that to be a temptation for me. And a lot of places were like, you what? I'm like, no, I just don't want it, right? It's a problem for me. And they would, you know, because otherwise I wouldn't stay there. So, but I knew that I wasn't, you know, strong enough on my own just to sit out there in isolation. So putting things in place to help prevent relapse. Okay, so practical steps here. Things to do to prevent relapse, and especially during stressful times like the holidays with the 4th of July coming up. So pray and read your Bible daily. Establish a specific time of day to have your quiet time. Make attending your recovery meeting a priority. Stay close to your support team. If you find yourself saying, I'm too busy to go to celebrate recovery tonight, then that's a sign to make time. Flee from whatever you're doing and come share your recovery. Spend time with family and friends that are safe. If they're not safe people, spend time with your church family. Get involved in service. Volunteer. You don't have to wait until you get to Principle 8 to start serving. 5, this is one that I've added, have a plan. So know that if whatever the things that are a problem for you, when they pop up, what is your plan? Have an action plan. Review it with somebody else. Tell it to somebody else, and they can help hold you accountable. And then the last step, as I've mentioned before, but is so important, is reach out to others and don't sit there and isolate. So thank you very much.